Blog Talk Radio.
Today, I've been going through a bronchitis infection, which I seem to have gotten about 3 or 4 days ago. So I apologize to everybody for yesterday, but I spent probably about 12 hours at the hospital,
I
had told the Most High that, you know, I wouldn't take this shot, this COVID shot, and that, you know, he had revealed to me that this COVID was a plague from him to call men unto repentance. So I wouldn't take the shot. And I had thought that I had gotten infected with COVID. And I'm like, well, most of the time I'm not going to even believe on that because you told me you would protect me. So I'm a, you know, I'm going to nix that out of my mind right away that, you know, that's not what it is. So I went to the hospital because I was having a problem not breathing in, but breathing out. And every time, you know, I would breathe out, you know, I'd make this wheezing sound. And, you know, I had heard it a couple of, you know, nights before during the lesson, and I had like, you know, what is this all about? This is strange. I had never heard. It wasn't even a wheezing. It was like a crackling sound. And so I didn't give it too much because, you know, it was just like a little noise. And I'm like, what's going on there? But I didn't, you know, pay it a whole lot of attention. And then, but I noticed that when I was going to sleep, it was like I couldn't breathe right. You know, and so it was affecting my sleep. And but you know, I still was not going to let it worry me because it was no pain or anything. But it just had a subconscious feeling and understanding that I wasn't breathing the right way. And so I finally said, well, let me go to the hospital and have it checked out. So I went yesterday, and they said that I had, you know, bronchitis, and because I was exhibiting COVID symptoms, you know, shortness of breath, coughing with, you know, bringing up a little bit of phlegm, but not a lot of phlegm. I had to actually force phlegm up. And I did run a temperature one time, you know, for about an hour, but that was it. So they said, well, you know, we're going to have to give you the COVID test. I said, okay, I don't mind taking the test. So I took the test, and before they told me whether it came back negative or positive, they said, have you had the COVID, you know, have you been inoculated? Have you had the, you know, the vaccine? I said, no. And I said, I'm not taking it. And they said, well, why? I said, for religious reasons. They said, okay, we can accept that. That's understandable. So, you know, I just told them I wasn't going to take the shot. Even if I was infected, I wasn't going to take the shot. But I had already said, you know, I'm not accepting that I'm COVID infected because, you know, I'm counting on my faith in the Most High. So the test came back negative. It wasn't COVID. It was bronchitis. You know, I'm thanking the Most High for that, that he said he would protect me and that I should never have even slightly doubted or that let that allow that thought to come into my mind. But I'm praising him for, you know, that it's just a slight bronchitis infection. And I was kind of dehydrated. Knew I have been drinking water the way that I should. And so, you know, said that I would get back on the routine of trying to just guzzle down water, especially here in Arizona, because it will suck the moisture right out of you. But my praise report is Yah is good and greatly to be praised. And I thank him for his word and always continually to keep his word, and that if, you know, being faithful not to doubt him, I am believing what he has said that this is, that it is a plague caused to bring men into repentance. So I was out looking this morning on COVID-19D, and the people who are, you know, a lot of the people who have been inoculated for the COVID are still getting COVID-D. And some of them are even getting the symptoms or worse symptoms. They say that this one is worse, that it is bringing about worse symptoms, that it's more infectious than the first strand, that, you know, the first strands that came out. And when somebody gets infected with it, it is, they get worse diseases. And this is faster spreading than the first one. So, you can have taken the shot and still get COVID-D, and then you can have taken the shot and still get sick from it. You know, they're saying that it's a lesser chance than if you didn't have the shot, but you can still get it. So, you know, I'm thanking the Most High. What he said that he told me when this first came out, that this is a plague to call men unto repentance, that it would get worse. COVID-D won't be the last one. It won't be the worst one. Because he's calling men to repentance, and even with the global warming and all this stuff, it's to call men to repentance, that they would, you know, change their ways. And what they are doing is trying to, you know, trying to give credit to everybody but the Most High. You know, hey, we can get a vaccine for this, and we can stop you from getting it, and all this kind of stuff. When he's saying, hey, for all that, they will not repent because they will not recognize really where it's coming from. You know, and anything that's global, you have to always look at, for sure, look at the Most High's hand in it. Is his hand in it? You know, when I went to pray on it when it first came out, you know, he said, it's a plague, and it's to call men to repentance. He says, but they will not repent. So they're trying to figure out a way around it, figure out a way out of it, and he says it's only going to get worse. You know, when I first said that to people, they said, you know, you crazy, you shouldn't be telling people that. I'm like, look, I'm going to tell you what the Most High told me. I can't, you know, it's on you if you go take the shot and do that kind of stuff. That's each individual's own personal choice. But as for me, I'm not going to try to go around his judgment or his call to men to repentance. I have to rely on him, that he will keep me out of the way of the judgment. So I thank him sincerely from the bottom of my heart that, you know, he's true to his word. So my faith is in him and will continue to be in him. And, you know, if your job comes at you and says, hey, why aren't you taking this shot? You can just tell them for religious reasons. They should accept that. It might require you to wear a mask, but, you know, wearing the mask or taking the shot, I'd rather wear the mask. So that's just me, okay? Anyway, I want to say happy Sabbath to everybody. I just want to give that praise report. Say happy Sabbath to everyone. Again, I apologize for yesterday, but at first I wasn't going to go to the hospital, and then I decided that I should go, and then going to the hospital, you never know how long you're going to be there. I would walk down the stairs, and I just had no breath. You know, I was winded, like I had ran a mile or something. I'm like, what's going on here? So, you know, I apologize for that yesterday, but Yah is good and greatly to be praised, and we are going to worship our Elohim and, you know, give him his day. On today, we are talking about the Elohim of blood covenant. Because, the Most High put it on my heart. I think I'm trying to remember what lesson I was doing or what precept. But it got into, you know, the contract. That the covenant is a contract. And then I said, you know, I need to look at this blood covenant. Look at it in depth, because the Most High, he wants people who will keep his covenant. And part of keeping his covenant is, you know, the covenant is the agreement. And then you have all the, you know, little stipulations of the agreement, which is the statutes, laws, and commandments, the ordinances. And so, but the blood covenant is a special kind of covenant. A special kind of agreement signed in blood. So, you know, when you sign something in blood, it's serious. You know, it's not just a normal contract. It's not just a normal agreement. You know, you're really signing with, he signed with his blood, and you literally, in accepting, are actually signing in yours too. And you have to know that, have to understand that. So, with this blood covenant, we're going to talk about this, but we're going to also, over some time, just like we're going to go to the temple, we're going to go through the law, the covenant. And why we're going to go through it, well, I'll say that, I'll get into that in a minute. Let's go ahead and get this Shabbat started and start off with our statement of faith. May have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. You are good to us, Father. You are so good. You are so perfect. Hallelujah. You're so faithful. Hallelujah. You are Elohim and you are Elohim all by yourself. And we will bow down only to you, God. Only to you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, oh Yah. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for your Shabbat today, Father. We thank you for your Shabbat. To honor you in it and to glorify you and to magnify your name and to lift you up, Father. For you have said, if we will honor you on your day and not turn aside and do our own pleasure, that hallelujah, you would lift us up. And so, Father, we honor your word today and we lift you up and magnify you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people, Israel. So, Father, we repent of our sins and we turn from our wicked ways and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, please turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers and deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. And we pray for the seed of Abraham, as many as you should call, both Jew and Gentile, into the kingdom. We pray that as many as you should call, that they would come, that they would hear your voice, and that they would humble themselves and bend the knee to you. Father, now as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. If I can have somebody put a one up if I'm being heard okay, that will be a blessing. I should have asked that earlier. If you can just hit one, I won't open the phone or anything. Just confirm that I'm able to be heard okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We are, let me do this list. Let us summon in the Most High. It is the Shabbat. With the blowing of the shofar.
An example of love, it is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. So perfect you are in description. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth to deliver. Most high, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most high, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
The first blood covenant. There's many. Well, we got to understand the Most High. There are different types of covenants in the scriptures. There are covenants of promise, and then there's the blood covenant, where blood is involved. And so the blood covenant is, even though all covenants with the Most High are serious, there is certain people that He enters into blood covenant with, and that is the nation of Israel. And in the New Testament, then we have the seed of Abraham, that if you are in Christ, He enters into a blood covenant with you. We are going to be going through each one of these covenants in detail, because as His people, we need to understand the covenant, because He wants us to keep the covenant. And so you got to understand that, I'll explain it here in these precepts, that the blood covenant is special. And, you know, the reason that we got kicked out is because we broke the blood covenant. And the reason that our people had to die because we broke the blood covenant. So let us get into this. You know, I want to take my time. I don't know if I'm going to finish the Torah portion of this today, because it is... as I said, we need to know it. And I've been going through all of the statutes and the laws, you know, the commandments and things, and getting those that are, you know, as I said, the commandments that are positive in nature, they're telling you to do something, and the commandments that are negative in nature, telling you not to do something. All of them don't apply today, and I need to go through. I'm going through because I want to have, I want to identify them all. I want to provide them all to each of you. And then those that don't apply, I want to identify them in the same list so that you know that they don't apply to us today. The, you know, the ones that are, that still apply, you know, we have to make sure that we know them and do them. One of the sites that I went to get a list of all the laws was saying that, you know, it's a law for every Hebrew to write a Torah themselves, to write Torah, literally write it out. But then when I went to the scriptures, I said, you know, because I need to verify, I don't trust anything that the rabbinical priesthood put together. You know, they did work, and I don't discount all of their work. But I've always verified. I don't go by, you know, the Talmud and all this kind of stuff. I read those things, but I don't per se believe everything or subscribe to everything that is written. I have to verify it with the Most High and verify it in the scriptures. So I was looking at that when I said, you know, I don't recall reading that anywhere. So I went and looked it up in the scriptures. The requirement for Torah. And when I went and looked, I was like, no, this is not saying what they're saying that it's saying. So even with all of those laws, you know, I want to verify that what they're saying is in fact what the scripture is saying. Because, you know, it's like when they said, you know, don't mix dairy with meat. The scripture doesn't say that. Okay, so when I went and looked at the scripture a long time ago on that particular one, Abraham said the Most High when he came down in the form of a man, he and two angels, he fed him, you know, lamb with butter and milk. And, you know, I'm like, so why would the Most High accept that from Abraham and then say don't you know, mix dairy and meat? He doesn't say that. That is a Talmud or a, I'm going to say it's a Talmud interpretation by the a rabbinical translation, and it's not filled with the Spirit of the Most High. It's just not true. So I read some of the stuff like that, but I always, you know, check sources, and then I verify in the scripture. So I want to go through all of these. There's like 613 laws total from Torah. And the reason that we're going to go through these, there's 613, 248 of them are things to do. And then there are there are 248 of things to do, positive in nature. And then there are like 300 and something that are negative, things not to do. And so I'm verifying them all by scripture. And then, you know, if something does not, if it feels, seems like what they are saying have created that this is a law, but it doesn't line up with the scripture and what the Most High says, then, you know, I'm putting in there the verses because I want to have the verses for each one of them so you know where this came from. And you're able to look it up yourself so that you get a complete understanding. Because there, and the reason that we're doing this is because we're going to read while we're doing this, okay? Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. This precept is the Elohim of the blood covenant. And this subsection is Yah's blood covenants, past and future, promised. And so we need to understand it, you know, from those standpoints. As I said on the other day, these are like contracts. And you got to understand the articles and the subparagraphs in the contract. And if you don't understand the law, then there's no way that you can understand the covenant. And I don't want any of us taking it for granted. These are things that you should study out. And I want, in this regard, I want to be very detailed in these. Because, you know, this is everything we stand on. We say we keep the law, but how well do we keep it? If you don't know that something is a law, then, and you're not keeping it, then if you don't know it, then it's out of ignorance. But once we know it, we have to do it. And so we're going to learn what they are, and then those that don't apply under the new contract, the new covenant, then we will, you know, identify those as well. But I want us to, you know, to have a thorough understanding so that we worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that they took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. So we're going to read about this first covenant that was broken. And how was it broken? And why the penalties are stipulated within the covenant the way that they are. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts. The first covenant was written on stone. And it was, you know, then they started having to write it out on parchment. But it wasn't necessarily in the people's hearts. So he says, I'm going to make this new covenant, and I will make it with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. So the Most High wants this in us. He don't want it just on, don't just want it in your Bible. He don't just want it on, you know, chiseled out in some clay stone. And it's not just the Ten Commandments. Because you'll see on TV and you'll see people in their house and they'll have the Ten Commandments and think that they have all of the law. And that's why the churches can't really come against, you know, like gay marriage or anything like that, because they say they follow the Ten. That's all that they will say that they follow. They don't even really follow the Ten. They follow 9, maybe 8. And then some of them are teaching, they only follow 6. I was like, good grief, it just gets worse. So we got to understand, you know, what the Most High, he says, I'm going to write my laws in your inward parts. Which laws? The ones from the first covenant. With the exceptions of those that he has changed or eliminated. But he had to do it. So we, in order to know the new, you have to go back into the old. It is no way possible to know the new covenant and not know the old one, the old contract, the old agreement, and what was required. It's no way possible. And you got to bring it into the new and then understand what was changed in the new. I can tell you right now, the penalties in the new got worse. The expectation in the new got harder. You know, so when the church says that they're not up under the law, then he tells you right here, supposed to be in their inward parts and written in their hearts. That goes for you and I as well. Especially to you and I. In their inward parts and in their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So this is talking to the remnant of the house of Israel, that he wakes up to take on the new covenant, but it's also to the seed of Abraham, those that come in Messiah. They have to also know this. They got to know what they're under. And that's the problem with the church, especially those churches that only teach New Testament. He says, I'm going to write my laws. Which law? I'm not making up any new laws. I'm going to modify some of the old ones. I'm going to get rid of some of the old ones. You cannot do them without a temple. Those that only apply to the land, you can't do them. So there's some that don't apply under the New Testament, under this current time frame. But they will be reinstituted in the millennial kingdom. So you still got to know them. Just know that they don't apply for this special time during this period. Because there's some things that, you know, I had been thinking about, you know, couldn't we still do animal sacrifice because not all sacrifice was for sin? Well, I found my answer today in the scriptures. No, you can't do it. Okay, so that answered my question for me. Cannot do it because we don't have the temple. Cannot make any of those types of sacrifice. So those brothers out there who are trying to do, you know, sacrifice lambs and things like that, they are forbidden to do it. They were forbidden to do it in Torah. And, you know, through the studying and looking at these things, the Most High showed me. So you were about to mess up. You thought you were going to be doing good. But he showed me, no, you can't do it. Okay, it's strictly forbidden. So, you know, we want to be right before the Most High. We want to do what it is that he would have us to do. We want to be in covenant relationship with him in the new covenant. We're going to go through the old because the new is based upon the old. So if you don't know the old, there's no way that you can know what's required in the new. It's just impossible because the new is based upon the old. I'm going to write my laws in your inward part and in your heart. You can't make it up on your own either. And so we're going to get into this. Let's see, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Yah host is his name. Now, I'm reading these next two verses because this is the promise. And what you will find is he's saying he's going to give some parameters and say, if this can be found out, I will cut off the house of Israel. So it's going to let you know why man is trying to find out some things, trying to find out how many stars, can they calculate how many stars in the universe? Can they know how large the universe is? Why? You know, you got to say, why do they really want to know those things? Thus saith Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, if the sun stop acting the way it does, as a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon, if it stops shining at night and coming up like it's supposed to, and the stars for a light by night, or if the sea, when the waves thereof roar, if the seas go flat and don't make no waves, okay? If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever, okay? Forever. So they're trying to know these things. Now we're going to see in the next sentence, thus saith Yah, they have no control over these things we just read. All right, so this is telling them, hey, this is an immutable promise to Israel that it will always be a nation. It's going to always be a nation to the Most High, even though he kicked the people out of the land, because the land belongs to him and the people belong to him. And he has already ordained that he's going to have a nation. Thus says Yah, if heaven above can be measured, how big is the universe? How many stars? How many planets? They're trying to guess that stuff today, and they've come up with numbers. But, you know, they are guesstimates. They don't know. They can't see it all. So they're, you know, they're saying, hey, if it's, you got sections of the night sky, you go out there and you look, even if you're somewhere where you can see the Milky Way galaxy, that cloud that runs through our particular galaxy. If you look out in the night sky in a place where you can see that, then you're going to still see some places where it doesn't look like there's anything at. So they pick one of those places in the night sky, says, like, that looks empty. They pointed the Hubble telescope at it, and it came back with thousands upon thousands upon thousands, you know, millions of galaxies that you just can't see the light with the naked eye. There's no patch out there that is empty. We just can't see it with our naked eye. So, you know, they're trying to measure the heavens above. They're trying to know what all is out there. They're trying to come up with a number. But their motives are not all pure. Their motives are not all pure. Thus saith Yah, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out, there's still parts of this planet they have not discovered or searched out. They can't go to the deepest point on the earth. They know how deep it is, but they can't go there to search it out, to see what's there on this planet. He says, I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yah. The nations don't want to fall up under Israel. They don't want to do it. The scriptures tell us that they will conspire that Israel should not be a nation, because they don't want Israel to be the head and not the tail. Israel chose that for itself, to be the tail, by being disobedient. But the nations don't want us to have it and be there either. So they are trying to search this stuff out so that they can call the Most High on his word. You said if we know this stuff, Israel would not be a nation forever, that you would cast off the seed of Israel as your people, if we could measure the heavens above. But the Most High knows they can't. So he made it two things that he knows they cannot do. But they're trying. I mean, I'm into scientific stuff, so I know what they're trying to do. And they're trying to do those things. But their motive for it is not purely scientific. Trust me, they read the word of the Most High. And they want to call him on his word. You will cast off Israel as your people. Because they wanted to be the chosen people. Every nation out there, who doesn't want to be the chosen people of the Most High? Israel, that's about it. All those other nations, they want to be. But we are a stiff-necked and a hard-headed people. And, you know, I think we take this thing for granted. We can no longer take it for granted. So this promise, he says, I'm going to write my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in your heart, in your mind. And you cannot not know this stuff and say that you walk in covenant, you know, relationship with him, and you don't know what the covenant calls for. You don't know what is required. You don't know the little nuances of the law. And then when we get into the New Testament and you read the New Testament, and the New Testament tells you that you are not under the law, and you read that, and if you don't have any understanding of the law, then you would try to say, hey, that stuff don't apply to me. It applies to them. Wait a minute. You're saying you're wanting to be in this kingdom. What makes you think you're going to be in this kingdom and not have to obey the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the kingdom? What makes you think you can come into a new covenant that is based upon the old, and you're trying to disregard the laws of the old. So, you know, you got most people who are just flat out lazy. And because they don't read the Old Testament to know that there's a new covenant, and they think that the covenant that Messiah came into is the only covenant that there is. This is my blood of the New Testament, of the new covenant. When they take the communion, Yah's Last Supper, when they do that, they do it in ignorance. Because there's no way that they should think that they don't know what the new covenant is based upon. They just think, oh, Messiah said, hey, do this. As part of it, Messiah didn't come and teach everything because the law was already in place. He didn't come to teach the law. So they ignore the law and try to make up laws as they go along. Cannot do that because he tells us by his prophets, I'm going to write my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in your heart, in your inward parts. Those laws were already established in Torah and through the prophets. So we got to know that the reason why I read those so that we understand that in order to even move into the new, you got to know the old. Got to know it. Okay, and then that's the only way. If I'm a company and I send you a contract and then I send you an addendum to the contract, if you never read the original contract, you don't know what I'm changing in the addendum. And then I say, you know what? We're going to do a new contract. And most of the stuff in the old one is in the new one. But we changed a little bit of the wording though. So there's some things that if you think about doing them, if we catch you doing them, we're going to penalize you for it. Well, I didn't know there was any penalties in the first contract. Well, there are in the second one, so you better read. It's the same way. So the Most High had a contract, a covenant, an agreement with Israel, with the patriarchs. And he has some stipulations in those contracts. Well, when they come into the New Testament, all of a sudden you're not up under any of that. You know, keep the Ten Commandments. Really? No, you don't. If you walk in the Spirit, then you're not up under the law. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't break the law, but you will keep the law. You won't become subject to the law because you're keeping it. But if you break it, then you now become subject to the law again. So if they're not keeping the law, then they have, you know, done what we talked about in Hebrews chapter 10. With no one, you know, and they might be able to feign ignorance. But we didn't know. But I think the Most High is going to make sure that everybody knows before he comes back. So what is a blood covenant? Now, I went through a lot of definitions, and, you know, I wanted this to come from the Scripture. So this is my best from the Scripture, and this can be modified. This is just, you know, trying to go through and answer who, what, when, where, and how concerning these blood covenants. What is it? It's an agreement sealed in blood between two or more individuals, not of necessity being of the same earthly bloodline, which practically makes them of one blood, such that they become a family within themselves. Let me say that another way. The blood covenant brings together entities that are not related blood-wise. You can be, you know, you can be. But this is—it's not necessarily required that you be of the same bloodline. It just means that you are in agreement. You're willing to accept this particular agreement, and you don't have to be of the same bloodline. But it makes you on the same level as family. We're of one, you know. If you go to a gang, and that gang, you know, that gang to itself is a little family. Now, they could be, you know, none of them are related by blood. Some of them may be. But most of the time, you know, usually the people who are in the gang, some family members, you know, some from other families, things like that. So they're not of the same bloodline, but it's the same kind of agreement between the gangs and their members. You jump into this, you're saying that we are family and we come before everybody else. So if we want you to go do something, you got to go do it or suffer the consequences. This is what the Most High did, but he called it a blood covenant, okay, sealed with blood. And this makes us, when we agree to the covenant, we are coming in under that blood. And, you know, the scripture says that the life of a thing is in the what? Blood. So this is a life covenant, and it requires a life committal. It requires you to be committed with your life because it's sealed in blood. What does the blood covenant affect? Or wait a minute, let's go to Exodus. I'm going to give you these verses. So what is a blood covenant? Exodus 24 and 8. And I sort of had to extrapolate this stuff from the scriptures going before the Most High, and what, you know, how can I translate that into today's terms? Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant with Yah has made with you concerning all these words. So we have some words and some agreements that were made, and it is sealed with blood. This is the blood of the covenant, the sealing of it. Now, there's other parts of these definitions will fall in these other verses. What does the blood covenant affect? Let's go to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8. And we just read Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8. So the Most High told them what he wanted, what he requires. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. So who does it affect? It affects anybody that agrees to come into that relationship. In this case, the Most High gave them his statutes, his laws, his commandments. And then the people said, we will do it. And then he asked Moses to come back later and sprinkle them with this blood to bring them into it. How does the blood covenant work? Let's go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29, and we're going to be getting verse 45. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 45. And this is the overview of it. We're going to get into these things in detail. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their Elohim. This is what this blood covenant is all about for the Most High and for us. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their Elohim. I'm going to commit myself to this people. I think I think Israel didn't understand this latter part. But we're going to go to another verse. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. And some of these can overlap. I want you to understand. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. Behold, the day cometh, saith Yah, that I will make, no, that's not the one. But this shall be the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I will be their Elohim, just like he said earlier. I don't think Israel realized this last part, and they shall be my people. They never took that serious, our forefathers. Never took that serious. That we will be his people. They never understood that this covenant made in blood, that the only way, there's only one way out of this covenant. So this is what it's all about. He will be our Elohim, and we shall be his people. That's what this covenant is all about, the old one and the new one. So he's just sort of spelling it out here because the new covenant is based upon the old. Israel was supposed to be his people. And he was supposed to be their Elohim. So I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. If we go back up to verse 31. Behold, the days come and saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Okay? So, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. This was intended from the beginning, though. Under the old covenant, that last part was intended. From the beginning. Now, what does that really mean? The blood with which the covenant is sealed makes the participant one with each other. We agree to this thing as signed in blood. We are now like one. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. One entity. Except for I'm the boss, and what I say goes. What does the blood of the covenant cover? We're going to look at some specific verses, and then we're going to, you know, really get down deep into the verses, you know, because we got to understand it. But overall, what does the blood of the covenant cover? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. It's required. Under this covenant. Now, all this other stuff that we're not getting ready to read, but the first things in this covenant, the first things, you're not going to have any of the Elohim besides me, before me. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. And understand that this is an overview of what does this cover. I'm not going to have any other Elohim before me. The other verses in there apply, but they're the details. Okay, and we're going to go through the details. 32 and 10. He He found him in the desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. Let's see, my screen is too big here. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, howling wilderness. He led him about and instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The Most High says, I'm going to be your only Elohim, your only man, and you're going to be my only people, my only bride. This is the apple of my eye. This is what's covered. This is what he's telling Israel. You're going to be my people. You're the apple of my eye. I'm not going to have the same relationship with all the other nations that I have with you. You're special to me. You don't just accept this willy-nilly. You don't become my people willy-nilly and not, you know, and come into this covenant and think that you can just do what you want to do. But you're special to me. You're not going to have any other Elohim. I'm not going to have any other people. You're the apple of my eye. Let's keep going. Go to Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. And hold on a minute. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. For thus saith Yah of hosts, after the glory hath sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of my eye. All those nations that attacked Israel, even when the Most High sent them to attack Israel, if they ever got puffed up for attacking Israel, the Most High always came to get them and bring them down because Israel is the apple of his eye. So don't get puffed up if I use you, nation, to discipline my people. But this is the apple of my eye, and when they don't behave, then yeah, I'm going to discipline them. So the nations tried to spoil Israel. All the nations that took Israel into slavery and mistreated us, they have a day of reckoning coming because we are still the apple of his eye. As long as the sun rises and shines and the moon goes through its phases, as long as they can't find out what the volume of the universe is, or the depths of this earth, he says Israel will always be his people. That's how strong the promise is. That's how much he loves Israel. And so when the nations think that they can do things to Israel and get away with it and not have to reconcile, the scripture says they're going to have to be reconciled. So this is part of this blood covenant. The Most High made it strong where you just can't, you know, I'm not going to throw away my people. Now, I might change some of the standards that I want out of them, and I might make it to where, you know, I want them to elevate their game. But I'm not doing away with the nation of Israel as a whole, and I'm going to write my laws in their hearts. And in their minds, those that will wake up, because they are the apple of my eye. And when the nations try to come against Israel, the way that they do, if they overstep the bounds of which the Most High sent them, or they brag about what they did to Israel, and they try to take credit for it, the Most High has always brought them down. Whoa, wait a minute. You only did this because I sent you to do it, and now you're thinking that you're doing this of your own power? You touching the apple of my eye. Israel has to understand this. This is all included with that blood covenant. Only you have I loved. That's a hard statement. But you went a whoring after other gods. But it's only you that I have loved. Out of all the nations. I chose you. I brought you up. I formed you. You're the apple of my eye. And so we as his people have to understand that. And there's no way that we cannot know Torah, cannot know the old covenant, so that when we come into the new, we make sure that we don't transgress. Because see, that will get you kicked out. And this is what I don't think our forefathers totally understood either. But when you start looking at this blood covenant, it's nothing to take lightly. It is nothing to take lightly. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to be easy. I'm going to be easy going about this. I'm not, you know, it's not all that important. You know, the Most High is merciful. He's forgiving. He'll always take me back. No, he won't. Once you break covenant, then he's got to do some things. So we got to understand. For thus saith Yah of hosts, after the glory has he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you, Israel, touches the apple of his eye. Okay, very special to the Most High. I'm going to be your Elohim. You're going to be my people. So you got to understand that's a very special relationship with the Most High. And it's a blood relationship. It's filled with a life. It's not just a handshake. So when you come into this thing, the Most High says, I'm going to give you my all. And you're going to give me your all. I don't want a piece of you, or if that's all you got to give me, I don't want you. The apple of his eye. So, what is this saying? When he says that you're the apple of his eye, he's going to be your Elohim, you're going to be his people, you're the apple of his eye. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we are going to be getting verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto Yah thy Elohim. And Yah thy Elohim has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Can we hear this? Can we understand? From the very beginning, this is why he chose Israel. Now, the question is, who can become Israel? There are the 12 tribes. He says, I'm going to save a remnant of you, 12 tribes. You can't just treat me the way you treated me with this blood covenant and think that you will go altogether unpunished. I'm not going to do away with the nation of Israel. And I'm going to have representatives there from the 12 tribes because you're the apple of my eye. But all of y'all ain't making it. Because you just can't do to me what you did and think that you can go altogether unpunished. So we have to understand that we have to esteem this thing. We have to understand what it is that he promised us from the beginning, what our forefathers failed to recognize, failed to believe, Let's read that verse again. For thou art a holy people unto Yahweh Elohim. And Yahweh Elohim has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Where? Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Above all the other nations. You think that they don't read this? You think that they don't, you know, want you to be where you're supposed to be? They don't. That's why if you say Messiah was black, and then they can see it, and they know, well, they know he wasn't white. I mean, there was no white people in that part of the world living there as a people. Well, what difference does it make what color he is? Because you've made him white. When you know that's impossible. So it makes a difference to you. He says, these are the people that I have chosen. And I'm going to keep a remnant of them. Now, if you want to act right, you want to come in, I will accept you into my nation. And whatever tribe that you choose amongst my people that you want to dwell with, they'll give you an inheritance if you do right. But most of them are not doing right. They're not even following what he says. But I want us to know what's part of this first covenant so we understand what's involved, who, what, when, where, and how. I don't want you ignorant. And as far as the Most High will show me how to teach it, I don't want us to be ignorant in this thing. And I want you to see the value and take value in it so that you don't have any problem committing. If I show you all this stuff and you still not committed, it ain't meant for you to commit. Just that bottom line. If I show you all this stuff and you can't see it, it's not meant for you to see it. If I show you all this stuff and you can't accept it, it's not meant for you to accept. But I don't mean I'm not going to teach it. So this is the covenant. This is what it's all about. I chose you as a people. And I'm placing you above every other people on the planet. You belong to me. You are my priesthood. I am your Elohim, and you are my people. I'm your husband and you're my wife. You shall not have any other Elohim before me. Don't worship nothing else. Don't have a picture of nothing else that you think might be me. Don't have a, because you might have a picture of another man and you don't know it. Because you don't know how I look. And here you are worshiping this picture, and it ain't me, and I won't be pleased with it. You won't bow down to them. You won't open your legs to them. You won't accept my marriage proposal and treat it as nothing. Take my name as as join with me and treat it as nothing. See, the rest of those commandments are details to you won't have any other Elohim. You won't have any other husband. You won't have any other man. And these are things you're not going to do with them. So to make sure that you don't do it, don't have no picture of it. Of nothing, not even of me. Don't bow down to them. Don't offer yourself to them. In submission. You're not going to take my name and treat it like nothing. Can we hear him? This is what he offered to Israel. This is what Israel still is going to do, but not all of us. Only those of us who will take it in faith and realize what he's offering and esteem it value it as the highest thing in our life. Most valuable than anything, everything else, period. This is what he wants out of his people, out of his covenant partner. Why our forefathers couldn't see this, I don't know. Why they wouldn't accept this, I don't know. Stiff-necked, hard-headed, lack of faith. You're not going to do all that. We want the stuff that we can have satisfaction now. If we go over here with Molech, I know I'm getting me some. Because that's what they do. The priests of Molech and of Baal and Ashtar, I found out that all three of those sects, those religions, their priestess and their priests had sex with the people. So our people are always chasing that stuff. You got your woman right at home, got your man right at home, but as part of your religious practice, you want to have sex with that too. And the Most High said, don't do it. But our forefathers did it. So we might look at them and say, I don't know how they could do that. But the truth of the matter is they did. And we can't say that if we wasn't back there, we wouldn't have been doing it too. He said, don't even think you might not have been doing it. You might have been doing it. Even today, a lot of people want to mix stuff that, you know, like I said, they brought up in the world. They learned these things. Maybe it was through their family. Maybe it was through friends. Maybe it was something they saw and it turned them on, or they liked it, or they thought it was right, whatever, however they got to that place. But they're mixing it with the Most High too. He said, don't do that. And see, we do it even through our national holidays, the holidays of the world that we keep, involving the Most High in things that he's not involved in. I ain't got nothing to do with Christmas. I ain't got nothing to do with Easter or Esther. I ain't got nothing to do with the 4th of July or Thanksgiving. Because when you look at these things, they're worshiping other deities. Even the 4th of July, you're celebrating the goddess of this country, Colombia, the Statue of Liberty. So when you take part in those things, you are participating. You might say, I ain't worshiping Colombia. Yes, you are. You just don't know it. So, you know, we can't say that we're not guilty. But because before y'all called us, you know, to this, He called me to this and let me know who we are. I was in the military. So you know I was celebrating some things that I ought not be celebrating. And y'all have to show me. After I got out of the military, you know, you should have been, you know, pledging allegiance to this. Now, whether you served in the military, that's one thing, but pledging your allegiance above me? No, you shouldn't have been doing that. But it was done in ignorance. And I know he forgave me for it, because it was done in ignorance. There's no way I could go into the military today and have the same heart and spirit for it that I had when I was younger. There's no way. Because I realized all this stuff matters. And when we're up under this blood covenant, then we got to understand totally what we are under, what's required. Can't just join anything and everything. Now, if you're in the land of your captors and they make you do something, then you really ain't got a choice. You know, what you do, you could die or whatever the penalty is for not doing it. You do have a choice. So we want to make sure that we understand what the Most High says concerning us. Let's read verse 6 again. For thou art a holy people. Can't be holy, clean, living unclean. Can't be holy, clean, not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. Can't be holy, clean, thinking that, you know, you can lust in your flesh and just say, I'm sorry. And it's all good, because it's not. Can't be holy and clean doing things that he says don't do. Don't be peddling things to your brothers and sisters that you know is not any good for them. It's not holy. It's not clean for them. It is affecting their minds. It's causing them to worship demons and devils. Don't love money so much that you would do things like that. It's unclean. It's unholy. Yah, thy Elohim, has chosen thee for a special people unto himself. You mine. I'm accepting you unto me above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Wow. How do you throw that away? How do you know that and throw it away? Now that I don't get. There's no way in the world I would throw that away. Not knowing it, I wouldn't throw it away. Trust me. So you got to assume that people don't know. Now, when we come to the new covenant, as I said, when we go into that, we'll understand that Yah has done some things. And the world is eligible to get into the kingdom. But Israel is still the apple of his eye and will always be the apple of his eye. As long as the sun is coming up, as long as the moon does what it's supposed to do, as long as the stars are shining, as long as man can't tell how many stars are in the universe or how big the universe is, Or what's in the depths of this planet. Because the Most High has made it where they can't see it. Can't get there. In a lot of cases, don't even desire. They want to know some things. But on this earth where they can actually get to, a lot of them, you know, why aren't they there? They can go into deep outer space. But they don't know, can't get to the deepest parts of this planet. So understand that the Most High has made it to where no man or nation is going to cause him to disregard Israel or just throw Israel away. Israel has to make that choice by being disobedient. And the Most High says, I know I'm going to get some of you, I'm going to get some out of you. Not all of you are going to be belligerent and stiff-necked and hard-hearted. So I'm going to get what I want. But I already told you, I'm not taking all of you. I'm taking a remnant of you. We want to be in that remnant. We want to be in that number. Let's go to one more place in this area. We're still looking at the blood which the covenant is sealed. We're still looking at what does the blood of the covenant cover. It covers our relationship with the Most High. Understand that. If you in this covenant, you're not supposed to put anyone or anything above the good or the needs of the members that are part of the blood covenant. Can't put anybody above the Most High. You can't put anything before him. So when you come into this covenant, you understand that you will not put anyone or anything above the good or the needs of the members of the blood covenant. The Most High and the other members. Your loyalty has to be to them. 100%. That's why he says you can't hate your brother. You got to have a certain loyalty to him. If he's poor, you got to help him out. Because he's part of the blood covenant as well. Let's go to 2 Samuel, chapter 7. What does the blood covenant cover? 2 Samuel, chapter 7. And we're going to be getting verses 23 and 24. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. Oh, I just closed all my verses. Let's see. Second Samuel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. And what nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom Elohim went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their Elohim. Because see, all the nations had their own gods. I went and got a people that I'm going to be their God. And I'm the only true and living Elohim that there is. Everything that they're serving really don't exist. But they believe it does. And I pulled you out of that mess. Thou redeemest thee from Egypt, from the nations and their Elohims. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Yah, art become their Elohim. So he's saying the same thing. I pulled you out, made you my people, so that you wouldn't worship these other Elohims that really don't exist. And because they don't exist, and the people are making them up, and they're doing things, performing acts that I don't want you performing. They're burning their children in the fire. They're having sex with their priests and their priestess. They're jumping over the fire like they're going through it. They're doing all these kind of things. They got an altar to their Elohims on every hill. They got some type of altar in every forest. They grow forests and groves to worship their Elohims in. You won't do that to me. Don't put an altar to me everywhere. Don't grow any groves and put an altar there. Don't go in this valley and put an altar there to me. Only where I tell you to. They do it everywhere, on top of every high mountain, every high hill. I don't want you doing that stuff. I'm telling you what's required in the covenant. I'm telling you how I want you to be my people, how I want you to belong to me. I chose you, and I confirmed that you're my people forever. Just not all of y'all. But I'm going to have my people, and I'm going to have them out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Because I chose you. Some of y'all are good. Most of y'all are bad. Let's be the good ones. Let's realize what the Most High is giving us. And let's do it according to as he says to do it. Anything other than that, trust. Trust when I say this. You headed, and you're going to the lake, period. There ain't no in between. There ain't no purgatory where you go sit in time out till your time is up and you come back out. No, you're going to the lake. So isn't it a wonderful thing that the Most High Elohim says, I chose you as my people forever. All you got to do is keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. Keep the covenant. Understand that there's only one way out of the covenant, and that's through death. Me cutting you off and you not being around me is death. And if it's in this life, you're just waiting to meet the second one, the permanent one. It's the only way out of this covenant. Either receive life or receive death. That's what the blood covenant is about. It's about life. I sealed it with life. Blood, which is the life of the thing in it. I sealed it with that. So you come into it, understand that it requires your life. It requires all of you. Let's look at this next question. Not really. What does the blood covenant, when does it become effective? When? It becomes effective the moment that each party agrees to the terms of the blood covenant. We already read, Yah gave us his terms. We said, all that Yah has said, we will do. We entered into it. Our forefathers entered into it. It was effective immediately then because we got to agree to it. Our forefathers agreed. We're going to look at that same thing in the New Testament when we get into the New Testament. So entering into the blood covenant. Entering in, this is what I got from the scriptures, all the scriptures that I've read. Okay, and we can look at some that validate this. Okay. Entering into a blood covenant with Yah requires 100% obedience to the requirements of the covenant. When one enters into a blood covenant, the breaking of the covenant requires the shedding of blood for atonement. That atonement required the taking of the covenant breaker's life or being cut off from the covenant. It's what you do when you enter into it. It requires your 100% of your obedience. And when you, if you break the covenant, it requires the breaker's life. You see, I'm in this thing for life. Only way out of it is through death or being cut off from the covenant. That means you're no longer my people, you're no longer part of this covenant, and you're no longer part of the promises. You might be a Hebrew, but you ain't an Israelite. You're just a Hebrew, man or woman. But you're not my people because you broke the covenant. I cut you off. Had some of y'all killed. Got to understand that. So when we come back into it, because he said, I can graft you back in again if you come with faith, if you come believing. If you come believing with your whole heart that everything that I said I'm going to do, I'm going to do. Because our forefathers didn't believe it. In Yah's blood covenant, ignorantly breaching the covenant is sin. So, you know, with the things that we've gone over in the past, where if you sin ignorantly, God said, you know what, you're able to bring an offering for that, and I'll forgive you. But if you sin presumptuously, ain't no getting out of that. Just look at this. So this is part of the covenant that we got to understand. In Yah's blood covenant, ignorantly breaching the covenant is sin. You broke one of, you know, you agreed to this covenant, but there's some things that you didn't know. Requires repentance and turning away forever doing that particular breach. Again, you can't do that again. You can't say, I know this is wrong, but, you know, I liked it, so Yah will forgive me. I'm going to do it again. He says, no, that doesn't work for me. So if you did it unintentionally, let's go to Numbers chapter 15. Because this is what this covenant is about. Numbers chapter 15, when you enter into it, this is what entering into it means. Numbers 15, verses 22 through 29. The book of Numbers chapter 15, verses 22 through 29. And if you have erred, you made a mistake and not observed all these commandments, which Yah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yah has commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that Yah commanded Moses and henceforward, from here forward, among your generations. This doesn't just stop with, it's not just for this generation that I just gave it to, it's for all your generations. Then it shall be, if I be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation. Now this is the whole congregation, the whole nation, not knowing that they're doing a wrong. That all the congregation shall offer one bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto Yah, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats. Why? For a sin offering, because you have sinned. You broke a commandment required of the covenant. It's a trespass. And if you did it ignorantly, it's still a trespass. So they were allowed to bring a sin offering. The congregation, the whole nation of Israel, doing something they didn't know was wrong. If that could ever be. But he makes provisions for it. You have broken the covenant. And maybe you didn't know you were doing wrong. And if you didn't, you can bring a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel. And it shall be forgiven them for breaking this blood covenant. Because it required you know, we've gone over what sin or what sins, you know, could you do ignorantly or what sins, how was that put in those scriptures? What sins were not unto death? And we found out it's only ignorant ones. Okay. For if it is ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto Yah, and their sin offering before Yah, for their ignorance. Got to apologize and make up with the Most High for your ignorance. I know I didn't know right, Most High. I know that I didn't know I was doing a wrong. I was ignorant of it. So then you can bring a sin offering for that. And he will forgive you. He is true and just to forgive you for it. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel. And the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. So this wasn't just because you know, from the very beginning, the Most High has told us that if a stranger that's one of another nation wants to join with us, then they got to apply by the law too. There should be one law for Israel and the stranger. So if they're living amongst us, if they say they're with us, then they can't just be doing what they want to do. I say, well, you know, that's your law, but it don't apply to me. The Most High says, hey, you tie yourself to my people, you got to be doing the same thing. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year. So now we went from the nation, now we're with individuals. Okay? If any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year of a sin offering for ignorant sin. Didn't know it was wrong. And a priest shall make atonement for that soul that sinneth ignorantly when he sinneth by ignorance before Yah to make an atonement for him. And it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. So those strangers that come and they want to join to Israel, they want to live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They want to be able to come, you know, and participate in Passover. They got to abide by all the laws, just like Israel does. You can't say, oh, that's for you and this is for me. When I taught this to one church and, you know, taught them, was teaching them the Passover and trying to teach them that, hey, can't just do what you want to do. Everybody, you can't just invite because it's the Passover, just be inviting people to the Passover. And they haven't committed to this. It's not for everybody. Didn't want to hear that. So I'm sorry. But, you know, these things come with laws. They come with requirements. And just because you're a pastor and you think you want to start celebrating this stuff don't mean that you can just do it how you want to do it. So if I can't, if you don't want me to teach you the law concerning these things, then you don't want me to teach you. Because I'm not going to just tell you it's okay that you can just invite anybody to the Passover, anybody to any of the feast days of the Most High, because they come with requirements. They come with laws of their own. And you just can't just do that. But, you know, being in the New Testament and we're not up under the law, then you sin, and I'm going to say it's in ignorance until now because I just told you. And if you can't accept that, I wouldn't do it if I were you. Anyway, there should be one law for him that is the Senate in ignorance, for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among you. One law. Got to abide by this same law that Israel got to abide by. But the soul that does aught presumptuously, the soul that does aught willfully, knowing it's wrong, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah, despises Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. He's no longer going to be part of Israel. Because, see, the stranger that joins Israel becomes part of Israel. Just can't do certain things. Because those things were assigned to Israel. But they can still be members of the nation. They can still take part and do sacrifices and take part in the Passovers and all the blessings that Yah has. But there's certain jobs that the stranger could not do in the land. Still can't do today. If Israel is on the job, then the stranger can't do it. It wasn't given to them to do. They can do it with their people, but the truth of the matter is they should all be coming back to Israel if they had understanding. So that soul that joined Israel, or that Hebrew that was born into Israel, if they do so willfully, if they sin willfully in Torah, they were to be cut off. They were to pay the penalty of whatever the law required. And he says in these cases, you should also lose that you are part of this nation. So if the law required for you to be killed, well, you ain't got to worry about not being a part of the nation, you're dead. If the law didn't require you to be killed for this, then and it was a sin that was, and this time, not unto death, because it changed that what I gave you of what sin is not, wow. You know, the sin that you couldn't do that was not unto death. In New Testament, it's any willful sin. In Torah, it was a little bit different. Under the letter of the law, they had to catch you doing it, okay? And there were some sins that, hey, if they didn't catch you doing it, or that sin, like you killed somebody, but it was an accident, then you could have a city that you ran into. You were innocent, but, you know, you don't know what the man's family or whoever it was, they might try to kill you. Which the law, you know, gave them the right to do. But you were innocent. The Most High says, hey, I'm giving you a place to run. Three cities. And when I increase the border, you add three more cities. For people that are innocent and people want to take out, you know, this wasn't a crime unto death. They shouldn't be dying for it. But the law says, hey, if you take a life and you took the life of my loved one, I have a right to avenge them. And if I catch you before you get to a safe place, I might act out of my, you know, out of my vengeance. So the Most High made a way out for that. But if you break these laws, he says, you're cut off. And if it required death, you'd die. The stranger and the homeborn. The same law had to apply to both. So we've got to understand this. Could not, under the law, under the old covenant, under the blood covenant, you could not willfully sin. Or something or someone had to die. David was supposed to die what he did with Bathsheba. He knew that. But he was kind of within his rights as the king, and he was out of his rights as the king. And he sinned. That's why the Most High sent the prophet to him. And had he done what Saul did and tried to blame somebody else, the Most High would have killed David. But he says, I'm the man. I'm guilty. So the Most High just, you know, didn't allow the child to live. That came out of that error, that sin, that willful sin. Because something had to die. That's what the blood covenant is about. It requires the life. So when you enter into it, you don't take this thing lightly. You know, if somebody came and told you to sign a contract and sign in blood, I'm sure you'd be wanting to know everything about the contract. You need to know everything about this one. And that's what we're going to be getting into, everything about this one, that we be not ignorant of it. Because we've got a lot of people just doing what they want to do, doing what's right in their own mind. Because they feel like this is the way it ought to be. It's convenient for them. But it needs to line up with the Most High, period. Don't care if you're Israel or whether you're one of the other nations. You want to come close to the Most High, you want to come into this covenant, then you have to be up under the same laws as those that are homeborn. Those that are Israel of the flesh. Those that have come back into Messiah, because as I said, you got to come back through Messiah to really be called Israel. Even if you're Israel of the flesh. You're the seed of Jacob. And he says that don't necessarily make you children of the Most High. Don't necessarily make you his people. And a lot of our people are claiming that and haven't come back to him the right way. So we understand that if you sin ignorantly up under this covenant, the old covenant, and it's the same way up under the new, except for the penalty is more severe. It's not easier, it's more severe. But up under this covenant, if you sinned, if you did it ignorantly, then you could bring a sin offering. And then you repented of it. Never to do it again. Not this, I'm sorry, until the next time you do it. And then I'm sorry until then the next time you do it. No, Most High doesn't play that. The minute that you knew that it was sin, you couldn't go back and do that again. Ever. Because it's no longer ignorant sin. It's willful sin. You know it's wrong and you're doing it. So we have to understand that. Now this is part of the old covenant. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 19. And I got about, I didn't think I was going to get anywhere near done with this, and I'm not. Deuteronomy chapter, so we will continue this in the AM. We're going to cover Deuteronomy chapter 19, and then we're going to stop for this evening. We'll pick up this same topic tomorrow morning because we need to really get into this and understand what covenant that our forefathers were in and what covenant we are in. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And we'll cut it off there for this evening. And when Yah thy Elohim has cut off the nations whose land Yah, thy Elohim, giveth thee. And thou succeedest them, and dwells in their cities and in their houses. Up under the old covenant, the Most High said, I'm going to give you their land. I'm going to give you their cities. I'm going to give you their houses. I'm going to run them out with hornets and with ants and with, you know, everything that's going to make it undesirable for them to be there. They're going to leave. I'm going to do this for you. But I'm going to leave some in the land, too, to see what you're going to do. But I'm going to go before you, and I'm not going to run them all out at once, because if I run them all out at once, the wild beast will take over. But this was the first covenant. I'm going to give you their cities, their houses, their land. You're going to go inherit a land that you didn't build the cities. You didn't build the houses. You didn't grow, you know, you didn't grow the food. It's going to already be there for you. These people have already done this, and I'm going to chase them out. This is what he did for us. Now, in the new one, he says, no, you got to come back and build houses. It changes. Thou shalt separate thee three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee to possess it. Why? Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee there. Every slayer. Somebody killed somebody, okay? And this is the case of the slayer. This is what the situation is. Which shall flee there, that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor, how? Ignorantly. Whom he hated not in times past. He didn't have a problem with this person. This was an accident. He wasn't trying to kill them. He wasn't, you know, laying in wait. Yeah, I'm going to get you, sucker. Just wait until you go in the woods. I'm going to be there waiting on you. I'm going to ax you in the head. I'm going to shoot you through with a bow. I'm going to stab you with the spear. I'm going to choke you out. I'm planning this. He says, no, they did this ignorantly. They didn't hate this person in time past. They didn't have an ought with this person. And when a man goes into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, to cut wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree. He's giving us an example. And the head slips from the helve or from the handle. And lighteth lands upon his neighbor that he died. He shall flee into one of those cities and live. Why? Because he wasn't trying to do this. He's innocent. It's innocent blood. But why does he need to flee to these cities? Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him because the way is long and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, insomuch as he hated him not in times past. But you know, you kill me and my brother found out you kill me and he coming to get you. And he's hot. The Most High says, you know, he has a right to avenge blood. And so he gives you a way to escape. You can run into this city. Now this is, wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. And if Yah thy Elohim enlarge thy coast, as he has sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love Yah thy Elohim and to walk ever in his ways, always in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee, besides these three, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. You don't want innocent blood shed. But if a man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and flees to one of these cities, now this man is guilty, then the elders of his city of his city shall send and fetch him from there. Now he flees into one of these safe cities, but it's been proven that he did this intentionally. He can't flee there. The elders of his city are supposed to send for him, hey, you need to send this person back to us. and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood. This man's brother wants his life. So you're supposed to deliver him to this man because he's got a right to avenge blood that he may die. Not that he may be sentenced to life. Not that he may be put in jail and live off the system under the Most High, under that blood covenant. He took a life. He's supposed to give a life. His own. Thus I shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel. Do you see how much stuff this would stop in this country if that's what they did? But you know, you got so many people doing false accusing and they got no morals. Be a lot of innocent blood being killed, even in, you know, these safe cities, that it may go well with thee. Thou shalt not remove, so that's 19 through 13. The man who did it ignorantly, he wasn't trying to, he's supposed to have a place to go. The Most High said, hey, I'm not holding that against you. But if his brother beat you there, if his brother beat you and catch you, and he killed you, he killed innocent blood, and I don't want that in the land. So here's the safe city. Now, if they find out that you actually did do that intentionally, you had an odd against this man and you killed him, then the elders of your city, once they prove it, they're supposed to send for you. And they're supposed to deliver you into the hands of whoever it is that wants vengeance. Now, in the New Testament, the Most High tells us, he's the one. Vengeance is his. He don't want us doing that. So there's some things that changed. But we want to see what was in Torah, what was under the Old Covenant that we understand. So that we're not trying to implement things that are contrary to the new covenant. So in the morning, we will continue with this precept, the Elohim of the blood covenant. We have a lot to go over in the old covenant. And I want to take us through some things so that, you know, we can't cover all the laws because they're not all in one place. But as I said, I'm working on a list that I can provide to everybody so that you know what all the laws are. And then those that don't apply today, they applied in the old covenant. Some of them may not apply today when we get into the new covenant. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you for being in covenant relationship with us, for bringing us under the blood covenant, even in Messiah. Father, teach us your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Let us correctly, give them to us correctly, Father, that we may not walk in error, but that we walk in truth. That when we bring forth into the New Testament, we understand those things that were not done away with and those things that were, in spirit and in truth. Father, and we'll be so thankful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We just want to be your people. We want to walk in your ways. We want to live according to the covenant with the understanding that this is a life and death situation. Father, we choose life. And we choose the life that you choose for us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we know what we're going to be doing tomorrow morning. We will be in the same vein. We will probably be in it for a minute because there's so much to go over. As I said, we want to go through, and you know, I really do want to go through each of the laws by the scripture so that we understand what it is that, you know, that our forefathers signed on to, and when whatever gets transferred over into the New Testament, that we have an understanding of it. Got to understand, you got to come out of your worldly ways. Got to come out of your worldly understanding. You got to come out of your own feelings. Because, you know, there may be some things because of the way you were brought up, what you experienced in life, that you might say, wow, that don't seem fair. Most I've never said anything about fair. These are my requirements. And so we have to move self out of the way. Now, you don't have to, but I'm just telling you that it would be better if you did. Just move self out of the way and accept his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but the Most High loves you way more than I ever could. Shalom, family.
Which 12